Good morning to you all. All right, before I dismiss the children to your classes and before the word, there's this word of prophecy, so just ask Pastor Irene to share a word.
There's for someone here. I had a word frustration. That as if you are so frustrated with your life that it's just like a piece of paper, you crumble it out and you throw it, you know, aside. But then I saw the hand of the Lord who took out that paper, and the Lord opened it up and smoothened it. And he writes that word. He said, I love you with an everlasting love. So this is for you. You know, you may be frustrated with your life, but then you know that you are so loved by the Lord, and the Lord is going to put it right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, children, you may go to your classes. Thank you. All right, this morning's sermon is taken from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 19 to verse 34. There are actually two segments to this particular passage that we're going to read. The first segment is from 19 to 24, which I've covered in my last previous sermon. And then my focus today will be from verse 25 to verse 34. Now, because whenever you read the scripture, it is better to read it in context in relationship to the last few verses what you have read, so that you can better interpret that particular segment. For that reason, I'm going to read from verse 19, the first few verses, as I said, have been covered in the last sermon, but it will help us to understand the next sermon, the next segment that we are going to cover this morning. So I'm going to entitle my sermon, How to Overcome Worry. And let us read from verse 19, Matthew chapter 6, please. Verse 19 says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 25, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Father, we know that in life, many a times we encounter troubles, we encounter difficult situations. And at times, Lord, we are worried and concerned about many things. Therefore, we come to you. You are the creator of heaven and earth. You are the creator of mankind. You understand everything. And we ask of you that you help us to live this life to the fullest that is pleasing unto your sight. So I pray, Father, that this morning, as the word is being spoken, that you will infuse wisdom and faith into our life. Whatever struggles that we may go through, I pray that let faith arise, that we look to you, because you are the author and finisher of our faith. You are the provider of everything. You are Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. So I pray that this morning's sermon will speak to your people, your children, Lord, in a very meaningful way, and that they will not be so overly concerned about things that are not important, but their focus will be about you, that they will seek ye first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and you say that all these things shall be added unto us. So we submit and surrender ourselves to you, and we just ask that you will infuse your word of faith and wisdom into our heart, and let everyone grow into the full stature of Christ. Anoint your servant to speak powerfully and simply in your mighty name. And God's people say, Amen. Now this morning, as I said, I'm going to cover two segments of the scripture. The first segment, Jesus talks about the treasures in heaven and on earth. And then he goes next to preach and talks about worry and anxiety. Now, what is the relationship between the two segments of the scripture? We will find out in due time. Now, first, let me start with a story, a short story about worry and anxiety. Now, there was once upon a time a dialogue between a man and the angels of death. And the death angels was walking and approaching towards a city. And then a man saw him and asked, "What are you doing here?" And the death angels replied, it says that, "I'm here to take 100 lives." Death replied, "So that's horrible. Don't do that here," the man said. Now the death angels replied, they said, "Please do not try to stop me, because this is my job." The man hurried to warn everyone that is in the city and in the town that the death angels is going to slay 100 lives. Now the warning is of no avail. In fact, it became worse, because later he discovered that the angels took, actually death angels took 200 lives. As the evening fell, he met the death angels outside the city gate, and this man was very furious, and he said, "You told me that you're going to take 100 lives. Now, why is it that there were 200 people who died?" And so the death angels responded. He said, "Yes, I only took 100 lives. You know, worry and anxiety took the other 100. And so this interesting story portrays so well what the United States National Mental Health Committee reported a few years ago. And he says half the people in America hospital beds are constant worrier. They are constant worrier. Mental stress and anxiety can lead to migraine, headaches, arthritis, heart trouble, ulcers, depressions, mental problems and various sicknesses, and eventually lead to death. Anxiety is a mental fatigue of nights without sleep and days without peace, and it plays havoc in the minds of the people, and it affects the quality and the quantity of life. Now, worry and anxiety seems to plague many people, and it's part of a fallen human nature to be overly concerned about many things in life. And we are worried about our jobs, about our health, about our finances, about our family, about our future, about children, our business, about exams, about the economy, and a host of many other things. Now, anxiety means to be fearful and overly concerned. And the more we worry, the worse we feel. And the worse we feel, the more we think worried and anxious. Worry is a very powerful, destructive emotional force, and it keeps us from living an abundant life that God has ordained for us. And constant worry, in fact, will raise our blood pressure, harden our arteries, put wrinkles on our face, dark circles below our around our eyes, and zap us of our energy and steal us of our joy. So anxiety won't make our problems go away. It won't help us to deal with our problems. Now, worry is like a rocking chair. Now, it gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. In fact, worry does not solve tomorrow's concern. It empties us of our today's strength and joy. So the question I want to ask, the simple question I want to ask is, what is the point of worrying? And worry, I want to mention to you, has a spiritual dimension. And it is playing off the devil's lies and fear in our mind over and over and over again. And it keeps us in a constant fearful frame of mind. And anxiety attacks our faith, and it is a constant state of worry. In fact, is a sin. So, there was a detailed study done about anxiety and worry, and what the people are worried about. And here are the results. It says that 40% of the worries that people have either never happen or never will happen. 40%. And then the next 30% of the worries were things in the past which nothing could be done about. And then the next 10% were actually on very petty and minor things that should not be even an issue for worry in the first place. And then 12% of the worries was about the health. And the irony is actually worry and anxiety worsen your health rather than helping you. And then we are left with 8%. 8%, only 8% of the worries were legitimate worries. They were substantial. And out of the 8%, 4%, half of the 8%, 4% were out of control, and the other half, the 4%, concerned something that a person could do something about. So in conclusion, the research tells us that 96% of what we actually worry about is irrelevant, and it is not worth worrying about. So don't worry about the unlikely things or waste energy or problems that on things that don't really exist. And having said all these things, I know some of you may already know this already, but you still find it a struggle, you know, with this very draining emotions of worry and anxiety. You felt being taken captive and being trapped in this monster of worry. Now, the fact of life is we are all concerned, we are all confronted with trials and struggles. Life is not pain-free or problem-free. And how are we to stop worrying and start living? Now, first, we must understand that anxiety and worry is an internal issue and is not an external one. And it's an issue of our mindset and our heart. So let me tell you a story to illustrate. There was a legend about a mouse who was afraid of a cat. And then he prayed, Lord, I hope that I can be a cat. So the Lord granted him this animal, the wish, so the mouse became a cat. And then when he became a cat, he saw the dogs chasing after cat. He said, this will not do. He says that now I want to be a dog. So again, the Lord granted a wish, and then he became a dog. And then when he became a dog, he ventured into the jungle and he saw a lion. And then the lion was chasing after the dog. And then he said, oh Lord, this will not do. Now I want to be a lion. So he became a lion. The wish was granted. And then when he became a lion, he saw an elephant. And then the elephant was actually, you know, killing a particular lion. And he said, no, I want to be the largest animal. I want to be the elephant. So he became an elephant. And then when he became an elephant, he saw another elephant where a mouse went into the ear and killed that particular elephant. So he was terrified. He says, now I want to be a mouse. So he became a mouse. Back to square one. What he was originally was. So now the moral of this story is there's no end to worry. Even in this case, the mouse, you know, keep wanting what he wants. And then he got what he wanted, but eventually it went back to square one. So it is not the external that we see, but the fear is really an internal issue. We have to deal with our heart and our mindset. So the next thing about this portion of the scripture is Jesus is not teaching about irresponsible living. Rather, Jesus is saying, live responsibly in life. However, there will be certain things that concern and trouble us, and we need to know how to handle them. So he gives us first the cause, and then later on gives us the prescription or the cure for anxiety. Now, how can we be set free from worry and anxiety? Let me go through with you the causes of worry and anxiety. Now, I'll start with verse 25. Verse 25, it says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Now, when you see the word therefore in the scripture, you need to stop and ask yourself, what is it therefore, therefore? Everything Jesus says about worry is connected and dependent upon what he says in the previous verses, namely verse 19 to verse 24. Now, the three main causes of worry and anxiety are as follows. First is from verse 19. It says that they do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But it says, lay up for your treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. So the number one cause is this. You have your treasures or you're having your treasures in the wrong place on earth instead in heaven. When our treasures and heart are in the wrong place, it is always insecure and subject to theft. And therefore, we are plagued with this insecurity of fear, worry, and anxiety. Number two, we have a wrong perspective of life. This is from verse 22 to verse 23. The lamp of the body is the eyes. If therefore the eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Now, when our eyes are so attracted by the worldly pursuit, our focus and emphasis in life will be on this physical world. We have forgotten that the next world of eternity where we will live forever. And worry increases when we become too focused on the things of the world when we have the wrong perspective of life. That is the number two reason. And the third cause is serving the wrong master. That is from verse 24 to verse 25. It says, no man can serve two masters, for either he would hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So freedom from worry begins with the answer to this key question. Who is really your God? Is it mammon or is it Christ? Now, what is mammon? Money and the world system. If you're preoccupied with money or possession or fashion or entertainment or any worldly pursuit, then you have made mammon your master and your God. And you are serving the master of this world. And you are subject to the evil monster, evil master of mammon. And the real being behind it is the devil. And you will feel insecure and fearful. And many Christians try to serve God and mammon at the same time. Now, it simply will not work. You cannot love both masters. They are totally incompatible, mutually exclusive. So, you need to review your life. Ask yourself honestly, who is your God? If you try to make Christ as your God and the worldly system as your master, it is no wonder that insecurity and worry will be a recurring issue in your life. So in summary, I give you this diagnosis. If God and heaven is not the center of your life, and if the world and yourself becomes the center of gravity in your life, you will always be plagued with anxiety. Period. Full stop. Now, so how do we overcome worry and anxiety? Now, this is a very practical question. Jesus gives us the prescriptions of the cure. Number one, he says, have a right value system. This is from verse 25. He says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body and what you will put on. He says, is life not more than food and body more than clothing? So there is a value. Is life more than food and the body more than clothing? Many people view life as just food, drink, clothing, and possessions. And therefore, they are very consumed with all these things. They adopt a philosophy of life, maximize pleasure, eat, drink, and be merry, lest I die tomorrow. And Jesus asked a rhetorical question on value system. He's asking you, is life more important than food and drink? Obviously, yes, life is more important than food and drink. The next rhetorical question on value system. Is body more important than clothing? Obviously, body is more important. So in other words, life is more than material things and the physical needs of the earth. If your value system is warped, then you will worry about the wrong things. If you're so occupied with what you eat, what you wear, because it defines your image, your class, and what others think of you, then those are the foolish things that for you to be worried about. Many people pursue money, power, and fame, outward beauty, and the passing pleasures of life, only to find out that after they die, they cross into the next world of eternity. All the worldly pursuits is of vanity. They adopt a philosophy of life where money, power, fame, beauty define their worth, their status, their significance, and their security. They fail to understand our short life on earth is only a probation before eternity. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15 to verse 22, Jesus warns us about covetousness, and he says, one's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses, but we need to live our life in such a way that God and heaven, that we are God and heaven oriented so that we can be rich towards God. Obviously, in life, we need to have our basic needs met. And God is fully aware of those concerns. And Jesus knows that, and he wants to assure us that God is your true provider. That is point number two. You need to have a right view that God is the true provider. And this is from verse 26 to verse 27. He says, look at the birds in the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He says, are you not more value than they? Which of you, he says, by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? Now Jesus select the bird, a creature in the wildlife, to carefully explain to us why we do not need to be worried about our basic needs. And Jesus asked us to look closer at the birds of the air. He said, look at it. Have you ever seen birds go about sowing, watering, fertilizing, and plowing, and then later harvesting? Obviously, no. They also do not build barns to store up the spare food for the future. But yet, they get fed every day, and they do not starve to death. Neither do they have any monetary system, office or factories, banks or employment system, shopping center or entertainment center. Yet, all their daily needs are well taken care of. They also do not pursue the latest fashion and design clothing and handbags like Armani, Prada, Gucci, and Louis Vuitton. You know, like some of you, you're so obsessed with those things. Their needs are simple. Only one set of clothing for all the four seasons. Yet, they look so beautiful. Look at the picture here. They look so beautiful. And then, now, this does not mean that they do not work for their needs. Please understand this. They are certainly not lazy. And, or they're waiting just for a handout. They are also responsible creatures. In what way? They fly from tree to tree looking for food and birds chip away the soil to find the worms. They fly around looking for twigs, straws, and hay to build nests for their children. And birds don't have any health issue like high blood pressure or heart attack. Have you seen a bird suffering heart attack? I don't. All right, show me one if you have seen one. Neither do they live a stressful life. They always chip away and sing songs of joy every day. Chip, 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 chip. You know, they're so carefree and they're so happy. Right. So after thousands and thousands of years, their food supply does not run out. They grow and multiply in numbers. And there are millions and millions of birds that we see today. So this provision, you know, does not just happen by random chance or luck. How do you think this is possible? Who do you think is the provider of their food? Our Heavenly Father. God provides them the food by design. It is not by chance. It is by design of nature and the ecosystem. Now, the ecosystem and the nature does not just happen like this. God designed it that way so that there will be plenty of food supply for all the creatures on earth. God provides them by, as I said, by design. So we need to revisit the very basic again, knowing that God is the true provider behind all these things. So the next question that Jesus poses is this. He says, are you not more valuable than the birds? Sure, for sure it is the answer. Human life and being are definitely more valuable than birds and the animals. The reasons are very, very simple. First, you are created with in the image of God. You are the crown of God's creation. You are redeemed and purchased by the blood of Jesus. It cost him his life. It cost him his blood to redeem humanity. This is how precious and valuable you are. And you are God's children. And God is your heavenly Father. So the question is, if God provides for birds and wildlife, surely he will provide for your basic needs. If your earthly parents who are imperfect cares for you and provides for you, how much more will your perfect heavenly Father take care and provides for you? So, the point number three is, you must know that your identity in Christ, that you are a child of the Heavenly Father, who is the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. Why then are you so anxious about your physical needs? Will worry in any way help you to elevate your needs or help you to grow in stature? Jesus asks. Answer is obviously no. So why do you worry about your basic needs? Verse 28 to verse 30. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? And here Jesus gave another example. He says, consider the lilies of the field, so-called the wildflowers of the field. He says they neither toy or spin around. Why would Jesus say spin around? It looks like Jesus is aware that in the modern days, or even in the olden days, there will be fashion model girl who like to spin around and show off their fashion, how beautiful, you know, their clothes are, so on and so forth. But he says, even King Solomon, the richest and the most, the vainest king that you can ever find in history, perhaps, or in Israel. He said, who took so much effort to be adorned with such a beautiful and fashionable design cloth, he says, cannot compare with the beauty of the lilies and any wildflowers, you know, in the field or in the mountains. Look at the various shades and the different color, how they blend with one another, so on and so forth. And he says, if God bothers to clothe such a temporal creation like lilies, which is here today and gone tomorrow, he says, with such beauty, how much more so if you were his children? You were created to spend eternity with God, unlike the lilies of the field, which is temporal. And would he not clothe you now, and more so after life on earth, in heaven, with a more splendor and majestic beauty? You have not kind of fully understood the majesty and your beauty that is going to be in heaven. So he says, why are you of little faith, brothers and sisters? So the fourth point is, you need to have a trusting heart. A trusting heart. Notice that Jesus did not rebuke his disciple for not having faith. Rather, he says, why are you of little faith? The reason is that most of us Christians knows God's power, but we do not know his purpose. I think that is a problem. When God allows certain struggles and trials in our life, our faith shrinks, almost about to be snuffed out. And this is because we do not know the heart of the Father. We look at life from a man-centered point of view, and we are buffeted by his purpose. And whatever situation God allows us to go through, he has a good purpose in mind. And the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the exercise of a trusting faith is the end of anxiety. That is the key. And let me illustrate with a story to kind of highlight the point. Now, this is a true story. Once upon a time, and there was this man called George Muller Menesey, and one of Napoleon's generals. He suddenly appeared with 18,000 soldiers before an Austrian town, which has no means of defending themselves. And so the town council met, and they were extremely worried, and they thought that surrender was the only option, only answer. But there was an old man, old faithful dean of the church, and he reminded the council that this was Easter, and he begged them to say, please hold services in faith as usual. Hold the church services as in faith as usual, and to leave the trouble into God's hands. So they followed his advice. So the dean went to the church, and he rang the bell to announce the service. Bang, dong, dong, you know, for a few minutes. And then what happened is the French soldiers heard the church bell ring, and they concluded that a big Austrian army had come to the rescue of the town. So they broke camp, and then before the bell ceased to ring, the enemies disappeared. And also in this story, it just takes just a trusting heart of a particular man. It says that just do it in faith, and we'll leave the rest in God's hand. And this is what happened, and that turned the situation around. So brothers and sisters, I know that some of you are going through trials and struggles in your life, and you are worried, you are anxious. So even though your faith is about to be snuffed out, and God said to you, just continue in your simple trusting faith, leave the rest to God, and he will take care of it, as is in this example. So verse 31 to verse 32, it says, therefore, do not worry, saying what we shall eat, or what we shall drink, or what we shall wear. For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Now God knows how to take care of all your legitimate needs, but not your wants, or not your desire, or not your luxury. There is a big difference between needs on the one hand, and desire and wants and luxury on the other hand. So do not be anxious about these basic things. He said these are what the Gentiles, the unbelievers of the world are pursuing. They are preoccupied with consumerism. They want more and more and more, and seems not to be satisfied. And it is comforting for us as God's children to know that God knows all the things that we need. He knows what is good for us, and what will destroy us. And God does not want us to possess, or rather to pursue possessions as our ultimate goal in life. And He has a higher purpose in life for us as Christians. So what is life is all about? If it is not about food, drink and clothing and possession, it is about God and His righteousness and preparing for eternity to come. And that is the fifth pointer, is this: getting your priority right. Matthew 6 verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus is assuring us now, if we get our priority right, He says, put the kingdom of God and His righteousness first, He will make sure that our livelihood and the needs of food, drink and shelter will be taken care of. He says that, taken care of. Now I'd like to ask you this question. Do you know that this world is very fragile? If the world were to go into a financial crisis, or run into a great famine or a pandemic, I'm talking about pandemic, where millions of people will be killed by some deadly disease like bird flu or any kind of viruses, is all the money, all the wealth, and all the possessions that you have, that you've stored up since whatever days, amounts to nothing. So the key question is this: are you seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? If you are, you have nothing to be worried about. Now, do not just honor the word of the Lord with your lips. You need to be honest with yourself. God cannot be fooled. When it comes to the crunch between God and your possession and your money and your worldly pursuit, your action, your decision will speak for itself. And if you're seeking worldly pursuit, then mammons become your master, your God. Then you have many good reasons to be worried about, just like the pagans of the world. And then the six ways to overcome worry and anxiety is this: live one day at a time. Verse 34, it says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day as its own trouble. God is saying, do not worry about tomorrow. We have enough already on our plate for today. Let alone tomorrow's burdens and concern. God is not saying, do not plan for tomorrow. So don't be mistaken. And in Proverbs chapter 21 verse 5, it says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. So here, after planning, so the point is this: after you've done your planning, just leave everything to the Lord and don't worry about it. Do not bring the anxiety of tomorrow into today's life. So in simple words, it means this: live one day at a time. Don't try to cram many days burden into one day. It will be very burdensome and worrisome. Now why? This is because simple reasons. God will only give you the grace and the strength for today's burden and trouble. And God will not give you an advance deposit of tomorrow's grace and strength for your today's problem. When tomorrow comes, He will dispense the grace and the strength to you. We are not capable of carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength because of a few reasons. One, we only get one day grace and strength for today. Just one day. We are mortal beings. Number two. And we do not have full control over the future. And number three. Worrying about the future only zap us of the strength for the duties of today. So, live one day at a time. So you will ask me, how? How do I live one day at a time? What do you mean? Simple. Number one. By trusting in God and casting all the cares upon Him. Number two, by asking and doing God's will for today. Number three, do the best as you can, and as best you know how, just for today. And then you leave the rest to God. Can I have the musicians to come forward, please? So I pray that after this word has been shared and spoken, that the words of wisdom and the words of faith are being infused into your being, so that your mind is being renewed, and then you take a certain mental posture of those six things that I talked to you about, and then you are able to overcome whatever anxiety, whatever worry, you know, that comes along your way, so that you can, you know, face tomorrow. You can face today, you can face tomorrow, because the Lord is with you. The Lord has given you the words of wisdom to how to deal with the struggles in life, and that our faith will grow in the Lord day by day. So I trust that this morning's sermon has empowered you to face what is ahead of you. So shall we stand and prepare ourselves for this enclosing worship song unto the Lord. At the end of the service, or even during this last enclosing song, if anyone wants to be prayed for, you just make your way to the front, and then we will just anoint you with oil. We just want to pray for you, so that whatever struggles, concerns, anxiety that you have, that God will give you the grace and the strength and the wisdom to overcome them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, while we are singing the song, please come forward if you need any prayer. Thank you.